Chicago's College Tailgate has it all. Now back to the show with Shay and Tyler on ESPN Chicago.
Chicago's College Tailgate presented by Twin Peaks. Tyler Aki, Shay Norling talk college football with you every single Saturday. As Notre Dame is headed to the national title game, there were rumors, what was this, about a month and a half ago, that the Chicago Bears were going to be eyeing Marcus Freeman as a part of their coaching search. And at that time, Marcus Freeman was leading Notre Dame. No guarantees they were getting into the playoff at that point, but they were a team that was surging, feeling good about themselves.
They were a win-and-in team.
Yeah, and they had a few wins that they had to get, but now the narrative has completely flipped. Marcus Freeman is clearly one of the best coaches in the entire sport.
If not the.
The way that it's going now with the big game win after big game win, like it's pretty cool to see. And not only that, but he has made one of the most despisable teams in the world, one of the most likable teams in the world.
Yeah.
I shouldn't even say team. It's the brand of Notre Dame that he has somehow made likable.
Yeah.
And I don't know how he's done it.
He's made them cool.
Yeah.
It's because he's cool.
Yeah.
He's a guy that you see on the sideline, and it just cool drips off of him.
Yeah.
He's got aura, as
yeah.
the kids say.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's something about his demeanor, too, where he's just very calm and just feels like he's got everything in his life under control.
Yeah, you never see him running up and down the sidelines screaming about a call, even when they get hosed on that pass interference play.
He's laughing.
They did get hosed. I don't care what anybody mm-hmm. says. I get textbook, that's the rule. You got to turn around. You got to find the football. You can't get there early. If your quarterback throws the ball that short of his receiver into triple coverage, come on. Keep the flag in your pocket. Do not reward a quarterback for a terrible decision. It's stupid. I digress. Mm-hmm. It wasn't Marcus Freeman running up the sidelines screaming at anybody or throwing his headset or bouncing his play sheet. It was a wry smile and pointing at the official and laughing.
Yeah.
He's cool.
Yeah. And I think it kind of trickles down to the rest of his players as well. So the Bears, once upon a time, were interested in Marcus Freeman. They're not going to be able to even think about interviewing him until after the national title game on January 20th, a week from Monday. But if you are a fan of both Notre Dame and the Chicago Bears, we want to hear from you, 312-332-3776. Which team would you rather have him coach right now? Because he's got Notre Dame in the national title game. The Bears obviously need a huge lift. Is Marcus Freeman that guy, though, that can, again, he hasn't been a guy who's done it at the NFL level, and he really hasn't been a head coach all that long. What's he been a head coach, 3 years now? Two, 3 years now?
Like, 3 seasons, yeah. He coached the bowl game four seasons ago when Brian Kelly left.
So he's new on the block in terms of being a head coach, but he's already in the national title game. Would you want him as the Bears head coach? And do you think he could do a better job of resurrecting the Bears than he's done with kind of resurrecting Notre Dame? Like, Notre Dame, for a while there, it was kind of spotty whether or not they would get into the playoffs. And when they did get in, they'd get their doors blown off. Like, they weren't getting to national title games. They haven't done that since 2012. And they got blasted by Bama that year. But I feel like in the case of Marcus Freeman, he is best suited at Notre Dame and should probably stay there. You've already kind of climbed the mountain at this point. Unless your dream is to be an NFL head coach, then so be it. Go ahead. Hell, maybe he's the next coach at Ohio State. Like, it's where he played college ball.
Yeah. If Ryan Day ends up going to the league, I think Ohio State would be a very attractive destination for a guy like Marcus Freeman.
Is that what the national title is? Winner gets to coach Ohio State next year?
But no. I think, look, if he wins a title at ND, he's going to stay at ND.
He'd be a god to that fan base.
And it's not like it's a small, it's one of the biggest brands in the sport. It's Ohio State. It's
biggest
Alabama.
In all of sports.
It's Notre Dame. And the advantages that they will get because they aren't in a conference. And people get angry. James Franklin had some comments that I thought were just ridiculous. And I'm somebody who's been a joint a conference guy. I don't care anymore. Yeah. I respect the game. Because look, man, like if we want to be honest about it, people that said, oh, well, Notre Dame, they hacked this by not playing a conference title game and still getting in. Did Tennessee play in the SEC title?
Did Indiana play?
Did Ohio State play in the Big Ten title? Did Penn State win the Big Ten? Did Indiana play for their title?
No.
So, did they all hack it? Oh, well, they play a soft schedule. They played Texas A&M on the road to open the season and won the game.
Kind of convincingly, too.
Stop. Like, enough. It's just Notre Dame does their work. They do the job, and Marcus Freeman's been excellent there. And I think it presents an opportunity for him to build Notre Dame back into what they were when they had, like, Joe Montana back in the day, and they were a top-tier program. This is an opportunity to be that. And it's a brand where you don't typically get, like, how many NFL jobs are better than Notre Dame?
I don't think any that are available right now.
Cowboys? Just brand alone.
Yeah.
Brand alone. Cowboys? Patriots?
The one thing about NFL jobs is because of the way that the NFL is kind of set up, like everyone's kind of on an equal playing field to a degree. I would say the Packers probably. Packers probably a better job than Notre Dame, but the list is very thin. I'm trying to think, like, financially, being the head coach of Notre Dame, he's getting a pay bump after what he did this year. He's already gotten the extension, too. Like, everything about it, it kind of feels like a lot of, especially in the current climate, like a lot of college jobs, head coaching jobs, feel like they could be better than a lot of NFL jobs. I get there's a lot of BS you put up with in college.
The grind is worse.
But the way that feels like it's changing to a degree where you're bringing in general managers. Look at Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick went to college.
Is the Bears job better than Notre Dame? In terms of legendary status, winning at Notre Dame makes you a god, makes you a legend. It's something you can do for your legacy only at a school like that. The Bears feel similar in the NFL.
Yes.
Winning in Chicago would make you a god.
Yeah.
Doing it both at Notre Dame and with the Bears.
Oh, boy.
And he's only 40. You become Pete Carroll. You become,
you elevate past Pete Carroll at that point. Like, you're Pete Carroll on steroids.
What's the guy's name? I'm totally blanking on it, and it's an obvious one.
Jimmy Johnson?
No, the one at Oklahoma. Barry Switzer.
Oh, okay.
One at Oklahoma and then at Dallas.
Yep.
Like, you become that level of head coach immediately. And you're only 40 years old, so you have an opportunity to build further beyond that. Like, look, I think the Bears would be doing themselves a disservice if they made the hire in the next few weeks or in the next 15 days and they didn't have an opportunity to talk to Marcus Freeman seriously. And don't get the extension stuck in your head. No. Like, oh, well, he signed for 3 more years and he's at Notre Dame through 2030. Coaches can get out of those whenever they want.
So easy. So easy. And it seems like no expense is going to be spared in the Bears coaching search. They can pay that buyout probably pretty easily. 312-332-3776. Notre Dame fans, Bears fans, how do you feel about Marcus Freeman potentially being the next Bears head coach? Would you rather have him at Notre Dame, keep him there, he's having success, or would you rather try to see him resurrect the Bears, the team that drafted Marcus Freeman once upon a time? Let's start with Colin in Northfield. What's up, Colin?
Hey, guys. Good morning. For me, super Bears fan my whole life, born and raised around here, super Irish fan, one of those guys whose grandfather went there. Dad didn't, I didn't, but we love the team. It's a non-starter. He'd be an idiot to even consider it if it was an option on the table at this point for him. As long as the McCaskies are in Chicago running things, he's too cool. You said he's too cool for the McCaskies. He can't come here and bring that type of swag and ambiance with the fumbling idiots that are running that organization right now. And I don't see a world where you would take down what you're building there. The guys running through brick walls, guys who are like top defensive linemen injured. You got Jeremiah Love battling injuries and giving it your all. Like, these guys are running through brick walls for him. I think we got a real shot to beat Ohio State, and it's a lot on the shoulders of Marcus Freeman. There's no reason for him to leave. There's no reason for him to consider anything else right now. He's a stud. I was down on him earlier in the year when that Northern Illinois thing happened, but the way that he kept himself together, kept that team together after that, it's a non-starter. You stay at Notre Dame.
All right. Thanks for the call, Colin. So the McCaskies would uncool. They would strip him of his aura.
You can't have aura and be the Bears head coach, apparently, despite what happened with Matt Eberflus in the offseason, but the payoff was nil. Can we talk about the Northern Illinois thing for a moment?
Sure. Listen, you want to talk about the Northern Illinois one? You also have to throw the Marshall one in. Like,
of course.
He has one of these stinkers every single year.
Of course. And that was his first season. They opened the year against Ohio State in the shoe. They lost. And then they had Marshall at home the following week, and they lost. And it was an 0-2 start for Marcus Freeman. I remember back then, and it was conversations about, is he going to last 1 year?
Yeah.
Is this a complete disaster? I think they lost the bowl game he coached in, so it was an 0-3 start. And people were wondering, genuinely, will Marcus Freeman survive a year at Notre Dame?
It was like, is he almost too nice or too, like, is he just too nice for the
or
job?
Inexperienced, like, too young, or whatever it might have been.
Like, just a good guy on the sidelines. You saw the way his players cheered for him when he was announced as the next head coach at Notre Dame.
The NIU loss, I get as a fear. And it was like it validated fears that people had, that he's always going to have this inexplicable stinker. Can we be honest about what it was? And it's not that anybody was sitting here going, it's okay that they lost to Northern Illinois because of this. It's in a retrospective that includes everything they accomplished after the fact. Dude, they opened the season, they went to Kyle Field at night and played Texas A&M, mm-hmm. where they were a 2.5-point dog despite being ranked way ahead of A&M. It was an incredibly difficult way to open their season.
Physical
that is
game.
The highest degree of difficulty, going on the road to a good SEC program and a very hostile environment. Opening week when you don't really know what your team looks like with a transfer quarterback. It's the highest possible degree of difficulty.
And not to mention, the coach on the other sideline is your current quarterback's former coach.
Yeah. Like,
he knows every single one of his tendencies, and he's a defensive-minded guy.
It's the ultimate bad spot to open the year. And they won by 10. And then you come home to South Bend, and your next game is a little bit of a sleepy start early against Northern Illinois. You're not going to get up for that the same way that you did when a week earlier you're playing a top 25 team on the road at night and it's this spectacle opening week game. You're not getting up for NIU the same way. I can excuse the NIU loss because in hindsight, it was clearly a letdown spot. At the time, I thought it was your season's over, you're damned, you're done, and maybe A&M just blows. But we learned going through the year, A&M was pretty good. Notre Dame was extremely good. And the one benefit that we get out of a 12-team playoff, you are allowed to have a bad day at the office against an inferior opponent and still have your goals in front of you. It's okay now.
Mm-hmm. And people may not like it, but it's just the way it is. And I think it does show you kind of what coach he is. Like, you play back up against the wall football the rest of the season, and you and I thought, all right, Notre Dame season's over because of the fact that we didn't think they were going to run the table the rest of the way. You lose to NIU, you open up Pandora's box for all the doubt to creep in and say that you're not good enough to run the table the rest of the way. Like USC. USC was coming off of a big win opening weekend, and it just kind of felt like, all right, you're probably going to lose the USC game. I think that game was in California, too. Like, it's just going to be a tough sledding for you the rest of the way, but far from the case.
They didn't just run the table, either. I mean, they were dominant the rest of the season.
They were curb-stomping teams along the way.
And then you get to the playoff, and you do what you do. And you beat a top 25 Indiana team, top 15, deserved to be there no matter what anybody says. You beat the number 2 team in the country in Georgia. You beat the 4th-ranked team in the country in Penn State by the rankings, not by the seeding. And now you get Ohio State for the national title. And Forgive me. I forget who that caller was. I forgot his name, but I'm with him. I think Notre Dame, look, the spread is what it is. People feel the way they feel about the game. I think Notre Dame's got a shot. I do.
312-332-3776. Notre Dame fans, Bears fans, which team would you rather see Marcus Freeman coach? Notre Dame or the Chicago Bears? Kyle's in Bourbonnais. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, gentlemen. This Marcus Freeman talk has to stop. The Bears need a proven NFL coach who's done it before. We have Caleb Williams, and we can't, in my opinion, we cannot afford to bring someone in who doesn't have the type of experience in the NFL to develop a quarterback and get these players on track. Because, you know, this whole, oh, he's too cool and adversity, which scares me. He comes over this adversity stuff with NIU. That's what, like, the McCaskey's like, so that's what kind of scares me. But, like, this whole too cool for everything. Like, there's players in the Bears that have more moxie than Freeman. We need a proven NFL coach like a Vrabel, like a Carroll, or a McCarthy, who can come in here and take hold of this team, give expectations, and develop a quarterback, and not put it on the shoulders of this new flash-in-the-pan guy who would never, ever leave Notre Dame if he was smart. If they want to call him and talk to him, sure, but I just think it's absolutely ridiculous to even consider him over a proven coach when we have such a commodity as Caleb Williams sitting there.
All right. Thanks for the call, Kyle. Listen, I want someone personally who's coached at the – I'm not saying he has to be a former head coach previously, but I want someone who's coached at the NFL level. If you're the Chicago Bears, I think that's the type of guy that you need. Marcus Freeman, I don't think is the guy that the Bears should be looking at.
I think it's dangerous to take a guy who's making the leap, but I like Freeman a lot.
I like him too. No, don't get me wrong. I like him too, but we've seen before some of the great ones come from the college ranks to the pro ranks, and it hasn't worked out. The guys who make it work usually have a track record in the NFL beforehand, and I think it's just a different beast, and you've got too much at stake right now if you're the Chicago Bears to take a risk like that, to take a risk with a guy who not super familiar with the NFL game. I think you would be taking way too big of a swing and way too big of a leap of faith as opposed to some of the other guys that are in the pool right now. I think it's not necessarily that it's safer options. Like I say safe as, and it almost sounds cowardly, but I think it's smarter options, I think is the better way of putting it.
Yeah.
Given what you've got on the market right now.
And the biggest fear for me, look, it's not the NFL experience. It's not whether or not he's been an NFL head coach before. It's what it is, frankly, with a guy like Mike Vrabel. It's you're hiring a defensive guy if you hire Marcus Freeman.
Yeah.
And you're probably going to be flipping over offensive coordinators every couple seasons.
And we don't know who's he bringing in?
Who knows?
Who's your staff?
It's not a world that I want to live in. Like, I'm going to remain where I am with the Bears. I think they should hire one of the coordinators, and I get that it scares people, but it is lower floor for sure than hiring somebody like Mike Vrabel. Pete Carroll, I have no idea. I mean, he's 73 years old. I'm not going to sit here and say Pete Carroll's a high floor coach. I have no clue what Pete Carroll is at this point. Vrabel, I think, is pretty high floor. I also think Vrabel's got a lower ceiling than any of the coordinator guys because he doesn't get the upside that you get with a play caller in place. And when the quarterback is your most important asset, that remains my focus. What are we going to do for the offense? Marcus Freeman doesn't answer that question, but to me, he's young, which is a part of my criteria. Mm-hmm. Not just young, he's like an infant in NFL coaching
years. Yeah.
Years. He's clearly got it. Whatever it is, he has it. He's interesting to me. I'd talk to him if I were the Bears.
No, listen, I think talk...
And I'd talk to him rather seriously.
Yeah, I think talking to him would be important. At least get some sort of view. And, I mean, we talked, like, Matt Campbell, Mike Locksley, like, if those two guys run the open market in college football, they're not getting taken seriously by any sort of power school.
Nope.
Let alone, like, why should an NFL team be making the leap into that? Like, Marcus Freeman, if he was on the open market in college football, and all the jobs were open, Bama would be interested. Georgia would be interested.
Ohio State, Michigan. Yeah.
Like, name your program. They're in on Marcus Freeman.
Dude, if you're as young as he is and you have success at a place like Notre Dame, every school wants to kick your door down. But the problem is Notre Dame is those jobs. It's one of them. Like, if you're at Notre Dame, you are basically already at Alabama or Georgia or Michigan or Ohio State or wherever you want to be. That's the same caliber. The only step up from Notre Dame is the NFL. Whatever Brian Kelly wants to say, I think he's been proven wrong. Was there any bigger loser from Notre Dame going to the national championship than Brian Kelly, the guy who left Notre Dame by saying, can't beat SEC schools at Notre Dame. Oops. Marcus Freeman beat two of them this year.
Yeah.
Well, you can't do a national title here. It's too hard to make the playoff. Well, oops, you were a couple years early on expansion. Hard to make the 12 team at LSU, apparently.
Yeah.
Maybe Brian Kelly's just not very good.
He's
like,
got,
it's that's what we're learning now. And it's, to me, if you want to step up from Notre Dame, it's not LSU. It's not Bama. It's not Georgia. It's the NFL. That's your step up. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, Marcus,
and even some NFL jobs might not be steps up.
For sure. Like, Marcus Freeman's got a bigger win in the state of Louisiana than Brian Kelly does, which is crazy. Crazy after he went out and beat Georgia a couple weeks ago. Let's go to Todd in Piatone. What's up, Todd?
Thank you, gentlemen. This is a topic near and dear to my heart, and I called in as soon as you mentioned it, and now listening to the sort of conversations making me come down to earth. I graduated in 89, including a trip to the Fiesta Bowl in Tempe to watch in person the last national championship.
By the way, and then Todd, real quick. This is already the most Notre Dame call of all time. You've given us the year you graduated.
The year I graduated.
Well, Fiesta Bowl trip.
It's hard for a domer to not at least lead with that a little bit. I'll try not to be obnoxious about it.
I thought Notre Dame people were the most obnoxious people on the planet. Then I went to that campus and I was like, you know what? Be as obnoxious as you want. This place is fantastic. It is It is wonderful.
I try to be an ambassador without that obnoxiousness, but anyway, it's everything you're saying I agree with. But when I moved to Chicago and, you know, lucked out during the Jordan years and everything like that and really embraced the sports of this town, it's fantastic. I grew up in Cincinnati with the Big Red Machine, and, you know, that was pretty special too. But the Bears, you know, I got to tell you, it took me this entire season to get over one of my best experiences at Notre Dame Stadium in a while, which was watching Caleb get the bejesus beat out of him all over Notre Dame Stadium, you know, after his, you know, FND nail polish bit. And I'm like, I'm going to give this guy a chance. I'm a Bears fan, you know, and I want to see him succeed. But Marcus is not the guy. He is a Notre Dame man. He's more Notre Dame than Ty Willingham, Bob Davey, Charlie Weiss, who graduated from Notre Dame, Brian Kelly, the Irish Catholic. You know, Marcus is only 3 years in. He's not so far shown the moxie, I think, that it's going to take, like what Kyle was saying about, you know, managing a program like the Chicago Bears and all of its elements. He's motivating these young guys. You know, and college coaches, really, other than Pete Carroll and maybe Jimmy Johnson, Chip Kelly. You know, after Notre Dame was in this situation last time, all of that news came out with Brian Kelly going to Philadelphia. You know, Brian Kelly, he's an egomaniacal. He's only interested in himself. He wasn't a Notre Dame guy. Where's Chip Kelly now? You know, after everything he's done. You know, Chip Kelly's the offensive coordinator now at Ohio State. So anyway, I agree with all of your opinions. I agree with Colin. I agree with Kyle. I think the best thing for the Bears is to get something, to get someone with more NFL experience that can manage the team and move them forward. Marcus is in the best spot. You said it best yourself when you said the only place to go up from Notre Dame is the NFL and only a few NFL spots. Please, Ohio State, the SEC, this greatest thing with Brian Kelly sailing down there is awesome. Thank you, Brian Kelly. Thank you, LSU. Go Irish.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Todd, class of 89.
The ultimate thing for me is I would entertain the idea of Marcus Freeman for the Bears. If I were Marcus Freeman, if you put me in his shoes, there's no way I'm leaving. I think he's got one of the, I mean, we could go through and rank him if you want, but he's got what, one of the 10 best jobs in football at any level? This is as cushy a gig as it comes. And look, man, like, let's be honest. If Ohio State wins the national title, you know how much money Notre Dame gets? Notre Dame will get more money from losing in the national championship than Ohio State will get from winning it.
Yeah, because Ohio State's got a split with the entire Big Ten, and this is the life of the independent in the college football playoff. You get to keep it all for yourself.
Notre Dame's going to get $20 million for themselves if they lose in the national title.
Not to mention the $14 million you got for, what, beating Indiana and for beating Georgia. And then I don't know what the cut is for this round of beating Penn State, but you get another cut this round. And then another one this round.
And the loser of the national title gets $20 million for their conference. Guess who doesn't have a conference? That means $20 million direct pumped into Notre Dame's football program. You don't think Marcus Freeman's going to get a little bit of a bonus off of that? This job is so cushy. If you have success, there are almost no jobs better than it. It might be the best option if you're winning. The money that you will get access to. Think about it this way. Just further context on how much they're making on these wins that other schools don't have access to because they split it up among their mega conferences. If you're in the Big Ten, you are splitting up your prize money between 18 schools. Mm-hmm. If you're in the SEC, you split up your prize money between 16 schools. It's ludicrous.
I wonder if you're going to see conferences start to try to trim some people out because of this.
Listen, I'd be more than happy to watch Rutgers take a walk. Look, the point I'm making, Notre Dame for years has had one of the most exclusive, lucrative TV deals in all of college football. It's them and NBC. They're going to make more money losing in the national title game than they will make in a year on that TV deal.
Yeah. And boy, they can just stick the middle finger up at ESPN, too, who desperately wants them to join the ACC.
Yeah.
Or any conference. Or the Big Ten. They want that so bad.
More the ACC so that ESPN can have them. But
the TV networks in general, aside from NBC, they want them in a conference because they want to put their games on. But now they're making more money off of losing this game, potentially, against Ohio State. They'll make more money off of that than what their limited package is for the rest of their sports that do participate in the ACC. I think they get like $17 million from ESPN for their basketball teams and all that. They'll get more money from losing a football game in the national title than they will from ESPN to be a part-time member of the ACC.
Yeah, and they'll play this ACC schedule like they do again next year, and people will bitch and moan that they don't play a difficult enough schedule. I would just say this, man. Look, here's Notre Dame's schedule in 2025. For everybody that says they don't play anybody. Ready?
Yep.
At Miami, Texas A&M, Purdue, at Arkansas, Boise State, USC, Navy, at Pitt, at BC, NC State, Syracuse. That's their schedule next year.
There's not a single FCS program in there.
That's a gauntlet, especially the first 6 weeks of the season,
yeah,
where they will play Miami on the road in week zero.
Jeez.
Like, come on. They play a difficult schedule. And I have been a guy who said Notre Dame should join a conference. They shouldn't have this thing where they get to sit on the couch while everybody else plays for their lives. But I think this year proved it differently. Notre Dame is one of the only teams left in the country that is playing playoff games the entire season. I got respect for what they're able to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And the way that they will benefit off of not being in a conference, I'm cool with it. Respect. If you want to hurt yourself by not allowing yourself a bye week and a top four seed in exchange for the opportunity to make a ton of money by getting in and winning, and you play a difficult schedule where you're playing playoff games from August to December, I'm good. Whatever you want to do.
Yeah. 312-332-3776, Bills and Roselle. What's up, Bill?
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's going on?
Not too much. I'm a fan of both teams. I lean toward college, though, as my favorite sport, I guess, but, you know, I've been following the Bears from Chicago, you know, my whole life. I'm not so sure, you know, that Marcus Freeman really has, you know, he's kind of the quintessential college coach at the moment, I think. You know, his style, the way he does things, you know, I think he's more effective in college right now than he might be in the pros. And it, as you guys were talking, you know, the guy with the mentality for the NFL, and I don't want this for the Bears, but a Brian Kelly mentality to me is more of an NFL mentality than the way Marcus Freeman goes about things. And again, as you guys have mentioned numerous times here, you know, there's nothing better than being a winning coach at Notre Dame. You know, you'll come out of there a legend. You know, you win a national championship. You know, I mean, look at Lou Holtz. He won one national championship in his career, and he's one of the most famous, you know, credited college coaches ever just for winning one at Notre Dame. He did carry the program there for quite a while as successful. But, you know, I think Marcus has a chance to be, you know, Holtz-like or, say, Saban-like was in Alabama. You know, you want to go back further, Paterno or Bear Bryant-like, you know, at their respective schools. I think he's got a good head on his shoulders. I also believe he just got extended.
Yeah.
And I think he's got an integrity to him that, and I understand in coaching, you get extended today, you leave tomorrow. But I it just feels with him there's an integrity there that might be beyond, you know, a lot of guys who've done such things. And I'll hang up and listen for your answer.
Thanks for the call, Bill.
The best point there to me is the one that I've been saying for the last 30 minutes. It's there aren't NFL jobs that jump out to me as better than Notre Dame. There are a few college gigs that I think stand out as being as good, if not better, than the majority of NFL jobs that routinely open, where you'll have cushy job security. If you have success, you'll have all the benefits. It's Notre Dame. It's Alabama. It's Ohio State. It's Michigan. Like, those jobs to me, Texas, if you have success, they're as good or better than any NFL gig.
What if the Cowboy job opens?
That's the one. And it's interesting because that job seems so difficult now with the way Jerry Jones runs it. But everybody seems to believe, myself included, that's the one that, like, if you could do it at one of the big-time brands in college and you can do it for the Cowboys, that's it trumps everything. And that feels like the one gig that, like, no matter how good your college job is, the Cowboy gig will always be attractive.
Yeah, it's kind of weighing, is it worth making the leap? Because, like, yeah, it's the better job, but is it worth making the leap? You've established yourself here. Whereas you go to Dallas and you go coach the Cowboys, and it's a blank canvas for fans to create their perception of you.
Yeah.
There's a perception now at Notre Dame with Marcus Freeman, who he is. You go to Dallas, you lose a lot of that, I feel like. And you got to kind of recreate your own identity to a degree and ingratiate yourself with Cowboy fans. That's not an easy task.
Well, and look, the NFL, when college coaches make the leap, it's littered with failure. I mean, ask Urban Meyer what it was like to make the leap. Mm-hmm. Ask Chip Kelly what it was like to make the leap.
Nick Saban.
Pete Carroll did it. Great. He's one of two guys who's done it at both levels. It might be three, but Pete Carroll and Barry Switzer are the two I know off the top of my head have won at both levels. And it's hard, man. It's very hard to make the leap, especially it might be easier now because the NIL stuff and the recruiting and the portal, maybe you're more prepared for free agency and you're more prepared to be constantly recruiting your players. Maybe you're even over-prepared because the NFL, you don't have to do it to the same extent. But it's a different beast. And the NFL does not have patience. It's at Notre Dame, he was able to survive a disappointing first year where they went 9-4, which now 9-4 with Drew Pine feels like an incredible accomplishment.
Yeah.
And he was able to survive a second season where it was, I think they were 11-2, but it was still a little underwhelming. They didn't make the playoff. To now being where he is, there was patience at Notre Dame, and he was allowed to build something.
Yeah.
In the NFL, Urban Meyer lasted, what, 10 games?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. He didn't make it the season.
So you just kind of, the patience isn't there. You put your job security, which right now you're under contract through 2030. If you go to the NFL, best of luck. If you make it to 2030, it would be a borderline miracle. Head coach shelf life in this league is not long.
No. And you fail once at the NFL level, you're not going back in all likelihood. It would be very, very tough to go back. We'll take more of your calls when we come back. Also got to get to our picks for the NFL weekend. All that and more coming up next.
Chicago's College Tailgate returns in a flash on ESPN Chicago. Now back to the show. Chicago's College Tailgate has it all with Shay and Tyler on ESPN Chicago.
We'll get to all of our NFL picks for the weekend in about 10 minutes from now. Tyler Aki, Shay Norling. You miss anything, check it out on the Chicago's College Tailgate podcast, where you can also find the Pick Aside podcast as well. And Shay and I give you all of our best plays for the weekend of football, both NFL and college. We'll also probably dabble in some college hoops as well. So check all that out, rate, subscribe, all that good stuff. And if you miss anything from Chicago's College Tailgate, you can find all that there as well. Al is in Valpo. What's up, Val?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. What's
going on?
Just talking about the Marcus Freeman thing. You know, at Notre Dame, he has the NIL money. He has the transfer portal. He gets to pick his own team. And he's got, 90 players plus there. You know, you get to the NFL, you're not really in charge of personnel. And, you're limited. And you're talking his first 2 years in the NFL in the first 2 years. If you look at Dan Campbell's first 2 years up in Detroit, it was ferocious. But they stuck with him. They saw the kind of character he had. And now look what you got. You got a juggernaut. Freeman would never go to the Bears because he's got it made at Notre Dame. He's got everything he needs there, everything he wants there. And he's getting more money than the Bears would ever think about paying him. You know, he'd have to deal with, Warren and Ryan Poles. If you think they're going to put a roster together like he has at Notre Dame, it's a long way from that.
Yeah, well, but yeah, go ahead.
I wouldn't even call it a myth because I don't think people truly believe, head coach has pretty decent say on what the roster looks like in the NFL.
I would also say we always get enamored by coaches who do more with less, right? Mm-hmm. He's put together, for my money, a top two defense in college football, despite losing five starters off of that defense. And it's not like they're nobodies. He lost both of his starting defensive ends. He lost his star defensive tackle. He lost his best corner. And his defense is still performing at an elite level.
Well, and let's call it what it is offensively. His quarterback has not played better than what he was at Duke.
His quarterback, when they brought Riley Leonard in, they thought they would have a dual threat passing attack. They thought they'd have the ability to throw the ball downfield. They haven't had that. But they've changed the way they're doing things offensively to suit what he does best. And I think that speaks bounds about him too as a coach. He's finding the ways to get the most out of what he has. That's the sign of an elite head coach.
Mm-hmm. I wholeheartedly agree with you there. Like, you think about what he's done and the way that he's kind of constructed that roster, it's almost Belichickian to a degree. Like, he's pulling lacrosse players in.
Yeah, it's the thing I'm not going to do where Al's talking about Notre Dame, it's a juggernaut, and he's able to build this team to be what he wants it to be. If they were healthy, we could have a conversation about them being a juggernaut, and I think they'd look a lot better than they do. But if we're honest about what they are, they've got awesome running backs in Price and Love. Mm-hmm. They've got a quarterback who hasn't lived up to the expectations I think they had for him in Riley Leonard. They have an offensive line where, let's be real about it, their left tackle, I think, blew his Achilles in training camp. He hasn't played all year. They've been offensive line by committee. They lost two offensive linemen in the game against Penn State. They don't run the ball as well as they should, as well as they would if they were healthy. They certainly don't pass protect. Wide receivers been by committee. Outside of Jordan Fison, rather, they don't have any wide receivers I'm writing home about. They don't have Michael Mayer, the tight end who everybody thought was Gronk a couple mm-hmm. years ago. They don't have one of those. It's Mitch, whatever his name is.
Evans, yeah.
He's fine. They don't have a juggernaut of weapons. They don't have this incredible roster. He's getting exceptional play out of a lot of his, frankly, B players.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. Like, he has done more. Like, you're right. He has been one of those guys who's done more with less. And I think the quarterback kind of tells you everything about that, too. I mean, Riley Leonard has severely underperformed from what Notre Dame fans thought they were getting. And they've still found ways to win. And they've still found other ways to utilize Riley Leonard to make him effective and kind of play to some of his strengths. I think it's pretty cool what he's put together at Notre Dame. Because I never thought I would ever like a Notre Dame team in my life. And I like this one. They're a fun team to root for. And I don't think they have caught the eye of the casual observer like this team has. Never have. Even when they're underdogs, like, they've never been able to kind of ingratiate themselves to the rest of the nation like what Marcus Freeman's built. Ever.
Ever.
And yeah. It's a completely different beast. All right, when we come back, we will get to all of our picks for the NFL weekend. That's coming up on Chicago's College Tailgate.
Chicago's College Tailgate returns in a flash on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's football game day starts with Chicago's College Tailgate. From red shirts to mascots to your school's alma mater, Chicago's College Tailgate has it all. Now back to the show with Shay and Tyler on ESPN Chicago.
Thank you to Jack McGrath for producing today's show. Welcome back, Jack. Good to have you back in the seats, looking all nice and tan, despite your boogie board. Encounter with
with the waves,
the waves
knocking me over, but other than that, I'm feeling great, guys.
You're standing upright.
Hey,
a good sign.
It's the best I can be. It was a great vacation. So much fun. It was nice to get out of this weather.
Don't blame you. Don't blame it. But you brought the snow back with you.
Unfortunately,
so. You came back to the Midwest amid its greatest run in a long, long time.
Generational type stuff.
I'm telling you, I think that the Midwest is having a moment. It's a Midwest renaissance.
Is Chicago technically part of the Midwest still? Because they are not having a moment. I mean, they are so far removed from this conversation of Midwest greatness.
Who? Oh, sports-wise, sure. But no, listen, the NFC North is the best division in football. Mm-hmm. That's a Midwestern division just on the whole. Mm-hmm. We've got a Midwestern national title. Mm-hmm. We don't have hurricanes. We don't have wildfires. We just have cold. A Midwest renaissance. This is the best place to live. It is.
Yeah, I guess. Just wish there was a little more winning.
Our sports teams got to get it together. Yeah, they do. But you know what? If they do, we'll be the premium destination in the world.
Go land Ben Johnson.
Listen, I'm just saying. Yeah, Ben Johnson makes Chicago the premium destination in the world.
Make that your winning. All right, Jack, we've got some NFL games to parse through, give out some picks for. What do we have? Let's just rip through all of these playoff games that we got.
All right, let's start off. Chargers at Texans. Chargers favored by 3 in this game. This is moved from 2.5.
It's the Houston Texans for me. I'm going to take the points. Their pass rush is so good. Chargers struggle to run the ball. Defensively, Houston's top 6, top 7 in any metric you can find. I think they can put the Chargers in a weird spot. They got a home dog nobody wants.
Yep, I'm with you. I like the Texans in this game, plus the 3. And don't let the numbers fool you, because the Chargers' run defense is not as good as they tell you it is. They are top half of the league in terms of yards per game, but they are the 6th worst team in all of football with 4.7 yards per carry allowed. So when you really dig into the numbers and see what the real story is, listen, the Chargers, they haven't beat anyone special this year.
Nope.
They're 2-5 against current playoff teams. Both those wins have come against the Broncos. So I like the Texans.
Two defensive teams. I like the Texans, too. I'm also eyeing the under in that game, 41.5. It's a low number to start, but I really don't see either of these teams putting up points.
17-13.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Steelers at Ravens. Fun game. Rivalry game. Ravens 9.5. Point favorites.
Yeah, if you're asking me to lay 9.5 in a divisional rivalry game, there is no shot. And you've got John Harbaugh, who typically gets dominated by Mike Tomlin, and you've got Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, who typically get dominated by the Steelers. It's Steelers plus 9.5. I don't think they can win, but I will gladly take those points.
Yeah, the last time they met, the only time we've actually seen Lamar show up for a Steeler game. He's missed a lot of them, too, over the course of his career.
Yeah.
But last game was the only time he's actually gone out there and put together a good performance. Now, I get a lot of the conditions are similar for this game, but we've lost the plot if we're getting near double digits on a divisional rivalry game in the playoffs when they split the regular season meetings. Give me the Steelers.
I'm with you guys, too. It looks like a clean sweep once again. Too many points on the board for that one. This one, a lot of points, too. Broncos at Bills. Bills favored by 8.5 points.
Can this line just steady out? It's been 8.5. It's been 8. It's been 9. It just figure out a place to put it, please, so that I can have comfort in knowing what I'm picking. I'm laying the points with Buffalo, though, because rookie quarterback on the road in the playoffs wins about never. And getting close against this Buffalo offense doesn't, it feels like a tall task for Denver. I think Buffalo blows them out.
Yeah, only two rookie quarterbacks have won playoff games since 2013. And while I like Bo Nix, this is a tall task to go on the road to Buffalo. I think usually you get one like extreme blowout in the first round. I think this
game feels like
give
it,
me the
yeah.
Bills.
I'm with you guys too. I think Bo Nix against that defense, it's just not going to look very pretty. Packers at Eagles. Eagles favored by 5 points.
This is where I get cute. That feels like too many points to me. It's a weird number. It's
started
in no man's land.
Half.
Yeah, but there was some stuff about Jalen Hurts and the concussion, which I will add, he's practiced twice in a 18-day period. Could there be a little rust here? I don't love him to begin with. There's a myth out there that the Packers don't stop the run. They do. They're actually really good down-to-down against the run. I like the Pack here, +5, and I think they can win the game.
I'm going to go the other side here. I like the Eagles in this game. It feels like they're the team who they're getting healthier with your receiving room, Jalen Hurts back. I think it's a lower scoring game, but give me the Eagles here. I'm just not overly impressed by the Packers and what they've done against legitimately good teams.
The Eagles' offense, I think, is going to explode in this game against the Packers. The Packers are literally and figuratively a wild card. They can either perform greatly, or Jordan Love's going to lay a goose egg, and he's going to throw 3 interceptions in this game, and the Eagles are going to blow him out. Because of that, I'll take the Eagles. I'll even go far enough to say I think their offense looks good enough right now. I'll say I think they're going to go all the way to the Super Bowl. For right now, though, I'll take the Eagles.
Oh, don't be careful. McGrath put that stink on the Houston Texans, and they've been terrible ever since.
Commanders at Buccaneers. 3-point spread here. Buccaneers favored in this one.
Rookie quarterbacks go on the road in the playoffs and win about never. Lay the points, Tampa.
Yeah, it's one of the few favorites I like from the weekend. I'm also rolling with the Bill or the Bucks.
I'm a Baker believer. Why not? I love the story of Baker Mayfield's comeback. I'll go with the Buccaneers as well. And the Monday night game, probably the best game of the week. Minnesota Vikings go on the road to face the Los Angeles Rams. This game's going to be played in Arizona. Vikings favored by 2.5 points.
This went from easiest game on the board to pick to maybe one of the most difficult.
One of the toughest games ever to pick,
yeah,
playoff-wise.
It's brutal. And look, when it was at SoFi and they were expecting the biggest pro Rams crowd in the stadium's history, it was all Rams. The football side of things is all Rams. They have a quarterback who torches Brian Flores. They have wide receivers who are great against man coverage and will torch blitz packages. They can run the ball. They're very physical. They've got an awesome play caller. And defensively, with Jared Verse and Braden Fisk, they can heat up Sam Darnold and get him to make bad throws the same way that the Lions did. I just don't know if their heads will be right. How do you go to Glendale and play a football game when you're wondering if your house will be there? I'm going to stick to the football stuff. I'll take the Rams.
It's tough. It's tough to really get a gauge on this game because of what is happening with the wildfires out in California right now. But I'll go with the football side as well. I think Matthew Stafford, this is an ideal matchup for him. Going up against an exotic blitzer like Brian Flores, I think he's a guy who's seen it all. He's seen it from Brian Flores before. Give me the LA Rams to outright win the game.
I just think the Vikings didn't get a ton of pressure against Matthew Stafford the last time these teams played. But really, I do believe the Vikings are going to make the right adjustments. I believe in Brian Flores' scheme. I'm going to take the Vikings. I don't think the magic runs out on Sam Darnold just yet. I think it happens eventually in these playoffs. I don't think it's just yet, though. I'm going to take the Vikings in this one.
All right. Those are the picks for the NFL weekend. And that is going to do it for us here on Chicago's College Tailgate. You miss anything, check it out on the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcasts. download, subscribe, all that good stuff. The Odds Couple is coming up next.
Shay and Tyler. Tyler. Chicago's College Tailgate returns in a flash on ESPN Chicago.